Are you interested to know more about microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue? Then we have an announcement for you before we start with today's podcast with Brigitte Lavoie. You might know that we have been very fascinated with microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue. There are several podcasts that cover that topic. And now we offer a four-week online course where we translate microanalysis of face-to-face dialogue into solution-focused practice. The course starts on May 4th, and there are two info Zooms, one on April 17th, that's tomorrow, at 6 o'clock Central Eastern Standard Time, and one on Saturday, April 18th at 4 o'clock Central Eastern Standard Time. So come check it out and go to www.sfontour.com/microanalysis. And now let's come to today's podcast episode with Brigitte Lavoie.
If we look in our experience, what could be useful, I think everyone in their own situation can find an example of something similar that can be put to use right now.
That is Simply Focused with Elva Cherney and Dominic Gilda for live and joy and deep.
Are you ready for this new episode? Then please welcome your hosts, Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godin.
Hello and welcome back everyone to episode number 95, and a very, very dear and joyful hello to you, Brigitte Lavoie. We are very happy to see you and to be on Zoom with you today.
I'm really happy to be with you today.
Yeah, we are very happy to be here with you today too. Not only because we made a podcast 70 episodes ago, episode number 25 with you when we were in Montreal, but 1.5 years ago, but also because there are so many stories that connect us. On the one hand, you just organized the SFPTA conference in Montreal, and we were so happy to see you there and really had a very, very great time. We're thrilled to see differences solution focus makes in your community, how you bring solution focus to Montreal, to your community. We were really thrilled to see and also were touched when you received the Insoo Kimberg Memorial Award of the SFPTA. And yeah, we're happy that everything was going on like it was, because it wasn't always clear that way that it will be like that. Because when we left Montreal about 1.5 years ago, you were just waiting for your results and you were diagnosed with cancer. And when we saw you the next time in Montreal, you were cancer free.
This made us really, really happy and grateful. Yeah, we feel this strong connection with you, and we were so glad to see you. And also along the way, somehow get a little message here and there to hear how you're on the way. And we were really impressed by the way how you handled the situation. And there are a lot of connections from what you experienced to the current situation. Actually, almost the whole world is in right now with COVID-19. And we are really happy to explore some of the useful things that you developed, experienced, or focused on during your time with cancer.
Maybe I want to say it's an occasion to say thank you, because I received a lot of warmth, encouragement, and people sent me good thoughts when I was on a sick leave from the solution-focused community. So it was really good to see everyone in November. And maybe the first story that I would tell is my first chemo treatment was on November 6th in 2018. And the conference in Montreal started in November 5th on 2019. So it was really special for me. And it's one of the things that was useful to imagine 1 year after that first chemo treatment, I would be with you guys and welcoming you in Montreal. And this is actually one of the things that I did to help me fall asleep sometimes, was to imagine that I would be in front of you and welcoming you, and the whole thing with cancer would be over.
And you did, and it was really a heart-touching moment.
She brought the whole plenary to cry.
That was not my intent, but I couldn't not say something about that, because I really imagined that moment. And maybe that's one of the things that I hope people can imagine right now, is this whole thing will have an end, and imagining it can help us get through difficult times.
Yeah, so solution focus was really vital in your situation and during this time for you. And also something I wasn't aware of, that social isolation with cancer is also a topic. And you had a lot of experience with that and we're thrilled to reach out to you and you reaching out to us. And especially now to have this podcast where we talk about solution-focused social isolation and how to cope with situations like that with solution focus.
Yeah, maybe not everyone is aware, but when you have to undergo chemotherapy, your immune system is really low. So I had 5 months of chemo. So during that time, it's not exactly the same thing that's going on right now because I could go out, but I couldn't expose myself to any germ. Actually, even my oncologist said, I wish I could see you outside of the hospital. Because you're in danger when you come to the hospital and you're in contact with germs. So I couldn't see my friends and family when they had a cold. I couldn't go and do errands. So I thought there were a lot of similarities with what everyone is going through right now. And even though if there are some differences, I thought you and I could make some use of that experience that I had to go through.
So Brigitte, we know that you are very much aware that people are in different situations in different countries because of the health system.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wanted to help people see what they can do individually and how solution-focused practices can help us individually. We can make choices so it's not as difficult. But I wanted to make sure to say that I'm really lucky to have universal healthcare, to live in a country. I live in Canada and we have a social security net. And right now I'm really aware, and I think you too, that it's not the same experience that people are going through if they are in a country without those nets. So yes, it was not as difficult for me and I did some things to manage my situation, but also I'm lucky enough to live in a country where we take care of people. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned that before we start.
I think it's a very crucial point to mention that. And at the same time, I think the things we will talk about will be a lot of things that, independent from where you live and from also how your situation is, whether you live alone or with your family or with your partner or with your kids, I think that might make a big difference. And there will be something valuable in for everyone, I'm very, very sure already.
So Brigitte, after this experience that you had in the last 1.5 years, what is it currently that fascinates you with solution focus?
I think one of the things is going back to constructivism. The way we talk about our experience has a big influence on our experience, our emotions. And right now, I would even go as far as saying, we make the headlines of our lives. Like right now, we have a lot of things in the media about COVID-19, but we're responsible for our own headlines. One of the things that I used to say to people was, besides cancer, my life is good. And it was true. Instead of saying, oh God, I have cancer and it's difficult, which was also true. But if I said, besides cancer, my life is good, that made a difference for me. And one other thing that I say is I had more good days than bad days. During that whole period, I had more good days than bad days. So those are my two headlines. So can you imagine the difference it makes? And right now, the headlines that we see in the media are catastrophic. And we have no choice about, no control over that. But we can control how we describe our own individual experience.
And if you are in a situation like that, diagnosed with cancer, for example, it is quite easy to have catastrophic headlines and your fears and sorrows. So how did you manage to come to those headlines? And what was helpful there?
Actually, I used a scale question. What I did was, for the first few weeks, I stopped after a little while. I wrote a number at the end of each day of how good was that day. Because I read a book that's called Moments, and they were saying that we have really bad memory. And we remember the bad experiences, the good experiences, but we have a bad memory about each day. So I wrote the number for a few weeks, and that's how I could come up with, I had really more good days than bad days. So scale questions can be really useful right now. So when you summarize your experience, you don't just look at the bad things.
So how did you put the scale? So what was the 10 and what was the 1?
Okay, 1 was, it was really hard. I was sad. It was difficult and I was in pain. And 10 was, I had good moments with my family, friends, or I laughed. So 10 was, it was a good day overall because of those moments with the people around me.
And there were more good days than bad days.
And significantly, like it's in a 1 year, I had to go through 1 year of treatment and surgery. I calculated 5 weeks of really bad days spread around a year. So I never heard that from people who had cancer. So I don't think I'm that special. Seriously, I don't think I'm that special. I think it's just because people didn't identify, didn't use a scale to see that.
And what would you say was it that you contributed as Brigitte that this could be possible to see more better days and experience more better days than bad days?
I started with an exception. When I heard the news, I thought, okay, if I just go to a narrow point of view and I say, how did I handle cancer in the past? I would say, I never had to handle cancer in the past. But I thought, what was a similar situation? And, you know, I had to think for a few days. And the similar situation that I found was my maternity leave. So you're going to say, this is completely different. I was so joyful when I found out that we had Chloe. But what is similar is I was away from work for 2 years. I was a bit isolated because I didn't work. So it's a big part of my day. And we love our children, but sometimes they can be boring when they're young. Like, there's a reason, you know, the box that the kids have toys with boxes that say good for kids under 3. It's not supposed to be stimulating for adults, and it's not. So I had to fight boredom. So I use a lot of things that I did during my maternity leave so I wouldn't get bored during that period. And I think it's the same thing with everybody who has to stay home right now. If they say, oh my God, I never had to experience COVID-19, that's true. But what was a similar situation that you had to go through that maybe you broke a leg or you had a maternity leave? And what did you do so you wouldn't get crazy? So that's one of the things.
I think it's very interesting what you mentioned here, because Dominic and I discussed that quite some times now, that since we are back in an apartment now, after 2.5 years on the road in the motorhome where we weren't most of the time on another continent than our families, we are kind of used to be the three of us. And it's not such a different situation to have Bibi at home from kindergarten now, because as a family, we are used to be just the three of us together. And this is a very, very valuable resource we discovered that we have, and that makes a huge difference for us right now.
If people tell themselves, we have no experience, we are in the unknown, it contributes to the stress. If we look in our experience, what could be useful, I think everyone in their own situation can find an example of something similar that can be put to use right now.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit the question that Heather Fisk introduced us a few days ago in our room for confidence, when she said she asks people, what shows you that you are already prepared for this situation that you're in right now? And make a list with 50 things and then, yeah, come back into your next conversation with someone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about finding those exceptions and finding what works in those exceptions, and also focusing on things that still and already work now.
Mm-hmm. And for me, what I realized, because I was applying solution-focused practices to myself, was maybe I was too narrow when I was looking for exceptions with my clients. So when we come up with a situation that seems so unique and different, you think you have nothing in your experience. But if you look for what would be the right state of mind right now, and when did I have this kind of state of mind in my life, I can go and find it in my past. And maybe I would add something about the future, because that's another thing that I did at the beginning. Not only I imagined that I would be at the conference, but I also asked myself, what do I want to say at the end of this experience? What are the things that I hope I would have accomplished at the end of this experience? That helps me like a beacon, like a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. When I was more stressed during that time, I would ask myself, okay, those were the two most important things. Am I taking care of those two most important things? If the answer is yes, it's okay. I don't have to do more. And here I want to prevent some people, when I ask that question, what is it that you would have to say at the end? They will say, oh, I wish I could finish my PhD. I wish I could redo the garage shelves. And it's not like that, because could end up, it's impossible to finish your PhD if you're in social isolation with your kid at home. You won't finish it. But if it's more the values that you want to have put forward, then that serves as a lighthouse and it can help you when it's gray or cloudy.
Could you give an example for that? So what were your values you focused on during your time?
Maybe I will give you an example that is related to my daughter. I have a 16-year-old daughter. And one of the things that I thought, I wanted to be present for her. And I had to readjust that thing, because imagine a 16-year-old, she doesn't want her mother to be that present. She would actually prefer her mother to be absent most of the time. But remembering that I wanted to be taking care of her in that year helped me when I had some challenges. And I tweaked the present, and I thought, trying to resolve things with her at the best I could. With time, I tweaked it a bit.
I just see myself when I was 16, so I'm very much reminded, as much as I love my mom. So for me, it sounds really like not looking at goals, but rather at those things that are important to you in your life in general, and like really focusing on that and from there build your preferred future.
Yes, yes.
And there's an interesting other parallel, because when you have cancer, you don't know how long it takes till you're cancer-free, if you will be cancer-free. And right now, we don't know how long it will take that we have to stay at home, or that the situation gets better, or will be even with the coronavirus in the future. So we have no clue how long it takes. And you took a clear decision to have a clear date 1 year from now, or from the time that you decided, and imagine your preferred future then. And we did something similar in our Room for Confidence, our online gathering, where we want to strengthen our confidence together with each other. And it's open for everyone. You'll find the link in the resource section of this podcast. And we chose a time 1 year in the future, and imagine that situation is better, maybe with the coronavirus still a little bit, maybe not, but situation is better. And then we looked back, and we looked back and looked at all the things we did that we're proud of, that worked well, that we were joyful about, grateful for. And it was such a huge difference, also with the possibility that the situation is not 100% great, but it's better. And maybe this might still be there, but still we can talk about a certain point in time, and still we can talk about this better and what this better means, and then also look back to what we did or what we do right now that supports us.
Yeah, I mean, to pick a date, I think one thing that it reinforced for me is you have to pick a date that is credible. For me, I was able to imagine a year later. I was not able to imagine 6 months. And you know that I worked in suicide prevention. And sometimes people cannot imagine in 6 months, but they can imagine in 5 years. It has no importance. What is important is what is feasible for them. Pick a date that you can actually imagine that this will be over, whatever date it is. And it could be different from one person to another, but pick a date and imagine it. Take the time and space to imagine it.
What were the questions that helped you to imagine this preferred future?
One of the things that helped me, and it goes with the future, I don't know if you've heard about Ellen Quick's work about appropriate caution. She has this idea of the future for anxiety that is, instead of imagining something really beautiful, imagine what could appropriate caution looks like. So it goes like this. Imagine that one, you're completely paralyzed by anxiety and COVID-19. And 10, you're completely careless, you party and you don't wash your hands. What would an 8 look like? So it's interesting because it dirties a bit the 10. Like, it doesn't say it's a good thing to be zen or carefree, because we have to take care of our health. So it's really useful to imagine what would be appropriate caution in the context. So it's here, I use it to imagine the near future, like what would be appropriate caution when I go through chemo, what would be appropriate caution after the surgery. So it helped me imagine a future that is not, oh, I'm all zen and happy, go lucky, but I have just the right dosage of anxiety, like a Goldilocks dosage, like in Got a Luck in the Three Bears. Not too much, not too little, just the appropriate one. So that was really useful.
And I really love how this is integrated in the scale. So this is a very clever thing. And who is interested to learn more about Ellen Gwick, we had her on the podcast in episode number 45. And we didn't talk particularly about that, but it makes me remember one thing she does. She says she always has miracles with bad times, so that she invites the people when she asks about the day after the miracle and how might they notice what might be different. And then also talking about, and suppose there is something that's not just how you wish for, how will you cope? So she integrates that. And I think this is something that I also hear you said, like, okay, were the bad days, but yeah, there came the better ones and I coped with the bad days too. So
yes.
Yeah, and even in our life without COVID-19 or even in your life without cancer, there might be bad days and good days.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of a realistic miracle. And there's the power of the preferred future. And also maybe one misunderstanding that we hear a lot about solution focus is only about kind of this far away miracle. And the miracle question is, for us at least, very close to everyday life, and it's not that far away. As soon as we talk about how we'd notice that the miracle had happened, and when we get up, for example, what the first thing might be, then you have kind of ordinary things that you mention. A good day, for example, you get up and have breakfast, you read your newspaper, you take your time to go and stroll around and have a walk. You go maybe to relatives that are feeling sick and kind of spend an hour with them, because now you cannot do that with cancer right now, but then you might do that. And those things that are really ordinary when we talk about preferred future, about miracles, and especially if you integrate also a miracle with bad days and a situation in a year, for example, from now, where the coronavirus might still be here and still people might be infected and still it's better. So how might we notice and what might we see us doing there?
And I wonder, Brigitte, what else do you think could be useful, helpful, supportive for all of us in this situation now from your experience?
One of the things that I thought I would talk about is we're talking about social distancing and the fact that we can feel lonely. But a lot of people are really living with their family in a closed environment right now. So it's not social distancing that is a problem for them. It's too many people in the same crowded place. So I thought I would tell you two stories about my daughter, which is wonderful, but it was difficult last year. And I was not at my best. She was not at her best. So we had different conflicts. I'm going to tell you a specific example. At one point, one of the conflicts was about she would come home and she wouldn't wash her hands. And she would touch different things. She would go in the fridge. She would go in her room. And I would really panic. And the first interaction that I would have with her would be, can you wash your hands? And the first interaction would be unpleasant. And I couldn't imagine this daughter of mine, she's really good with algebra. She could do that algebra difficult thing and she couldn't remember to wash her hands. So at one point we had this discussion and I realized how much it helped to have this idea that don't imagine bad intention when you are in conflict with someone. So we're sitting on the couch and she would say, oh, probably think that I'm careless. And I said, you know what? I don't think anything. You must have good reasons. And I didn't plan to say that. It came out, you must have good reasons. And I don't think anything. And she paused and she stopped being defensive. And she said, you know, if I have to remember to wash my hands, I have to remember that you have cancer. And I don't want to remember that you have cancer. And it was really moving. And I thought if I had tried to say how I felt and just the fact that I said, you must have good reason and I don't think anything bad about you, she could say that. And then we could say, okay, so how can that look like if you remember to wash your hands? without necessarily having to. And you're good at remembering because she makes lists, she's really organized, she has a board in her room to remember her test. And she came up with the idea, and it was so simple, so ridiculous. She wrote down a note on the outside door to everybody, not just for her, to everybody, remember to wash your hands first thing when you come in. Thanks. So it was not me nagging her. It was her telling everyone that that's one of the things that we need to do when we get in. Because another thing was she wouldn't tell her friends to wash their hands. So this was done. End of the discussion. But you must have good reasons made a big difference in our interaction.
What a heart-touching story, Brigitte. It's really beautiful. And this is one of the things we also noticed in conversations with a lot of people right now, that it's so helpful, particularly if you're not alone, well, share maybe even a small space together, to always see the good reasons. And I really know how difficult that is sometimes.
Yeah, it is. Yet, it's a difficult one.
And yet, for me, it's also a good thing to find ways to remind myself again and again about that. Because I think this is such a valuable thing in any situation, when you're in a difficult situation with another human being, to remember, hey, there are good reasons for the way I do the things, and there are good reasons for the way how the other person does the things. And just simple, the thought often helps me to accept the situation much better.
And the sign that your daughter put up on the door for everyone, kind of disconnecting the hand washing from cancer, reminds me of a question that Heather Fisk asked. And she asks, well, what is your favorite hand wash song? And since I heard that, I love to wash hands, because then I can go into the bathroom and sing a song and wash my hands. And I'm not yet quite sure what my favorite is, but I have several songs that I sing. And kind of getting into the apartment and singing while washing hands is a very good reason to go to the bathroom.
And for us, it's even easier to get Bibi to wash her hands when we ask her, what song are we going to sing today?
Absolutely. I have another thing about when you are with someone in that context. I don't know if you remember Brenda in your podcast, when Brenda Zaltman-Minden said that her daughter, she wrote compliments. And when it was difficult with my daughter, I thought, okay, this is not working, so I need to do something completely different with her. And I decided to write a letter to her about all of the things that I admire in her. So I picked one quality, one characteristic, and I started the letter by saying, you know, these days we're picking on each other, but I want you to know that I still see who you are. I see you. So I wrote the compliment, but then I backed it up with a paragraph. It was not just a list. It was, I really thought about it. Why do I think that she has that quality? And it took me 2 days to write. It was a 4 pages letter. And really everything changed after that. It was not miraculous, but really something really important changed for me and for her. And of course she read that. And she was emotional. Actually, she didn't want to read it. I think she thought I would criticize her. And I did nothing else. I didn't ask her to change anything. I didn't say that she was not doing what. It was just that. Because I wanted her to know that I still saw who she was behind picky things that we picked on. But what changed is not just her behavior. It's mine. Imagine if you have conflicts with someone that you have to stay home with because of COVID-19, and you spend 2 days just remembering what you liked about that person and writing it down, is going to change your attitude towards that person, even before they read whatever you wrote to them.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. Listening to you, there pop up really some things I did in the past, and I'm quite confident that this happens to our listeners right now as well. And there is one story from my life that just came to my mind. A few years ago, I bought myself 2 little diaries. In the one diary, I wrote one thing I'm grateful for that my mom did. And in the other diary, I wrote one thing I'm grateful for that my dad did.
Oh, that's interesting.
I never intended to give it to them. I just wanted to do it for myself. And
wonderful.
So much changed. My perspective on things. And, you know, I learned so much about what I learned from my mom, what I learned from my dad, and I could curate a whole new story about my relationship with my parents, about what I learned from them, about qualities I didn't see before. And there were a lot of qualities I realized in my interactions with others that I saw my parents doing and I wasn't aware. I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. And my dad still doesn't have it. I still have it with me. For my mom, I decided to give it to her. And well, this makes me think of giving it to my dad maybe as well. So it might make a difference for him as well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And what happened in our dialogue, in our family with Elfie, me and Bibiana, was that we talked about Elfie's parent in a completely different way. We appreciated things that they did in a completely different way. And of course, this changed our interactions with them also. So what changed in your interactions with Chloe after that?
I think I remember that she was more than her behaviors, like the little behaviors that were getting on my nerves. And I just stopped picking on her that much because it was irrelevant. Like those things diminished. The things that were bigger in the picture were not those little things. So it became smaller.
I think this connects so beautifully to what you said at the very beginning, that like this postmodern thinking, like constructivist thinking, is much more present or even more present right now, because the dialogues we have, the conversations we have, and the conversation can also be something that I have with myself in the piece of paper and a pen. The conversations we have and the questions we ask ourselves, the things we focus on, invite us to create a whole different reality when we talk about all the horrible things that are going on and, well, start to talk with our friends about that, how horrible it is and how much deaf people there are. And, well, that we are not sure if we will still have things to eat, like all those things, or focusing on other things like initiatives that grow out of this situation. We just had a discussion yesterday where someone mentioned, you know, I'm so impressed that regionality and support of local business owners grows. There are initiatives where you can order your toys from the local toy store because they are not open right now. And like all these tiny little things that also create different possibilities and relationships within a community.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the word "and." Bill Hohenlund taught me that this idea that it doesn't say that all those terrible things are not happening, but and it's also that you can put the light on other things that are happening at the same time.
And there's so many things right now that are going on that people want to keep even after this situation. We talked with many people in the last few weeks that said, well, there are so many things going on that we want to keep because this is, we just found out that this works much better than what we had before. And now we have to change it and we didn't even know that. So also this focus on all the things that not only work well or still work today, but might even work better than before and that we might want to keep in the future. And I'm really curious with your experience you had, what were some elements that you kept doing that really help you right now also?
One thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and maybe it's related, it's something that doesn't come from the solution-focused world, but I thought it was too important because this was something that really helped me. And I think there's a way to use it in a solution-focused way. Like sometimes a bit of knowing can be useful. So one of the things that I read during my isolation was about the 10 positive emotions that have been identified by Barbara Fredrickson. So really fast, hope, gratitude, joy, proud, being inspired, interested, amused, love, in awe, and serene. And knowing that, what difference it made for me was that in suicide prevention, we talk about hope and we're looking, how did you manage to stay helpful? Notice the moments this week that you're hopeful. So we can do that with all of the other ones. And for me, knowing that made a difference in my isolation. For example, I would start a bad day And I would pick one and say, okay, how can I be inspired today? And I could say, okay, I'm going to watch a podcast with Elfie and Dominic. And I would feel better after that. And I had this rule of 15 or 30 minutes rule, which was, I do something for 30 minutes, and if it doesn't change, I'm not going to push it. I can be allowed to have sad moments. But usually after 15 minutes or 30 minutes of doing something that gave me that emotion, I had a better day. So knowing those emotions, I could use in social focus, we say, notice a good moment and amplify it. Remember how you were able to experience that. Do something in the next while to experiment it. So it's as if it widened, like it's not just about hope or about having a good moment. You can focus on these different emotions, and this way you can experience a better moment. Does that make sense?
This makes a lot of sense. And I love how you bring in the example of using that in a very, very solution-focused way. Because when you read these emotions, I noticed that in solution-focused questions, a lot of those things are often embedded. We often ask in our trainings, what inspired you about that?
Absolutely.
What are you particularly interested in right now? Or we notice also with our starting question of the podcast, what fascinates you about solution focus? People connect with their fascination and it creates a different dialogue, and the different dialogue brings up different emotions. And with that, we have a joyful conversation compared to when I ask, well, what was bad today?
And I'm already looking forward to this afternoon and evening because I want to be in awe today. And I'm curious where and when and how I will find that. And already by talking about that, kind of my eyes widen up and I'm looking around and kind of looking for possibilities to really be in awe. So thank you very much for this.
I like the fact that you say they're already embedded in our questions, but making it more formal can make us realize, for example, I use hope all the time because of my work in suicide prevention, but I didn't use in awe. So maybe I can use and I can embed that in another question to help someone. And because we're solution focused, it's not that we teach people how to experience those emotions. People already know how to experience those emotions. Can we help them remember how they did? Maybe before COVID-19. And if we help them identify how they did it, maybe they can do a bit of that during that period too.
And if you're listening to this podcast and COVID-19 doesn't say you anything anymore because it's like 2 years ago, for example, you can just imagine another situation that might be difficult for you. So it can be anything. It doesn't have to be a situation right now. It can be a situation in the future that is difficult, and you can do everything that Brigitte and we talk about there.
What really inspires me when I listen to you, Brigitte, is how you highlight that questions we ask invite to see things we already do, to notice them even more. And I think, like Dominic and I love to say it, with every question we open an answering spectrum and we invite people to think about something. And when I ask what inspires you, when I ask, wow, think of a moment where you were in awe in the past, how did that moment look like? What was different there? And what difference could that make for your current situation? We invite people to think about their awe. We invite people to think about the things that inspire them. And most of the people answer the questions we ask within a certain spectrum. So if you ask someone, what inspires you? It's very unlikely that they give an answer about how bad their day was already, but they would start thinking at least about what inspired them. And even if they don't come up with a thing that inspired them today, they start thinking about it. And that's, I think, such a crucial thing to see and to know, particularly in the current situation.
And talking about those positive emotions also helps create them.
Absolutely. And I wanted to mention, I used to ask people, tell me about a time that you were joyful. And when they had a hard time because they were going through hardship, I would say, okay, tell me about a time when it was not as bad. So it's not the same thing that, okay, maybe being joyful is not accessible when you're going through hardship, but being grateful can be accessible. Feeling love for someone can be accessible, but that gives positive emotion nevertheless. So between being joyful or not as bad, we have a wider spectrum. And I just wanted to make sure here when we talk about love, we're not just talking about romantic love. We're talking about connectedness. And nowadays, we see a lot of connectedness. Like I experienced love with the ladies at the cheese store. Not love in the romantic way, but they were so nice with me, trying to help me find things that I could eat because I couldn't eat everything because of my immune system. So it was connectedness. So it's more like, you know, the Louis Armstrong song? I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you do? They really say, I love you. So that's one of the things that I bring from that year to Dominique and Elfie. I never imagined I would be part of a choir, but I'm part of a choir now, the Hope Choir, that is just for people who have cancer. So amazing. Sometimes we cannot imagine the good stuff. We can imagine the bad things that can happen, but sometimes we don't have enough imagination to imagine the good that could come out after that. And I was already kicked out of a choir when I was young. And now the only thing I had to do, I didn't need to sing well. I just had to have cancer. So I got in.
Well, this must have been a crazy choir to kick you out anyway. But I guess something good came out of that as well. Brigitte, when you look back on the last 1.5 years, and there's one thing you have not yet talked about that might also be helpful, useful for other people in situations like we are facing right now with COVID-19. What could that be?
One thing that research shows is that we underestimate our capacities to get through rough time. Like human beings, when we say, oh, you're going to have to face this or that, we think, oh my God, I don't think I have what I need to get through this. And in the end, most of us get through those difficult times. Because when we face a difficult challenge within ourselves, resources that we didn't even know we had embedded within ourselves. And this knowledge, at one point, I didn't know how I would get through this. And I thought, okay, I'm a human being, so I must underestimate my capacity to get through this. So maybe that's the one thing that I didn't say. That was really helpful.
Wow. So Brigitte, maybe invite you to give a challenge of the week to our listeners.
It's from Frederick Banning. It's when you have a hard time imagining a future, one thing that you can ask yourself is, what kind of animal would you like to be? So I could tell you my story. Like at one point, I had a hard time imagining the life after cancer. It was not during those years. It was, okay, how am I going to live expecting another cancer, like next sick leave? And I felt more like a prairie dog. So you ask yourself, what would be the animal? I was more the prairie dog, like just watching for the next predator. And I came out thinking about it. I came out with the butterfly. And one of the reasons why I chose the butterfly, it's because the butterfly doesn't have a long life. Like it's 1 or 2 days, but he's joyful during the life that he has. And the butterfly doesn't ask himself, oh, he's not grudgy. He doesn't say, oh, I wish I would be a mammal and I would live longer. He seems to be happy with his butterfly life. So the challenge of the week would be, in those times, whatever those times are, because we could be in 2 years from now, what kind of animal would you like to be? And when you identify that animal, don't forget to go in your past and remember when you were more like that animal. You were already capable of being like that animal.
And I already know what animal I would like to be. And
okay, tell me.
If you think you know it, please comment in the comment section of the Simply Focus podcast. Go to www.sfontour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode number 95. Comment there. Write the animal you think that I will be. And if you write, you'll win a surprise from us. You can also comment on Facebook pages that we have or on LinkedIn or on Instagram And who knows, you might be right.
And if you want to bring us in awe, it would be particularly great if you also give us a rating on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, all the platforms, because your rating and your review make it easier for other people to find this podcast. And if you find it helpful, please help us share it with others so that it will be accessible for many, many other people. And I have to go to comment now.
Oh, that's not fair. That's not fair. You should know.
She already knows it, but who knows who else will find out. And as usual, you'll find all the resources that Brigitte or we mentioned in this podcast in the resource section. So go to www.sfntour.com/simplyfocuspodcast and then go to episode number 95.
So thank you very much, Brigitte, for sharing your journey with us, sharing your stories with us. And we are very inspired every time we meet you, actually. We feel love every time we meet you. We feel the connection we have. We feel joy our interactions with you bring into our life, and we're simply in awe of all the things you do and share and create. So thank you very, very much for that.
And we still remember how you showed us the cheese store.
Thank you, Elfie and Dominique. And again, on behalf of some members of our community, we really appreciate that you make it all of this effort to inspire people and to share the different stories of people from our community. So thank you for that. And I hope it could bring my little peace, but you are some of the lighthouse in the dark. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And talking about lighthouse, one more thing I would love to mention. If you want to connect with other amazing people and strengthen your confidence, come and join our Room for Confidence. It's a weekly online gathering with people from all over the world. We had people from Vancouver Island to Malaysia in our last gathering. So please come and connect. We foster meaningful conversations that nourish our hope, that nourish our confidence, that nourish our, we have this German word, ableness to act. And yeah, we are very, very happy if you want to join in and connect with us and many other wonderful people.
And it's open for everyone. So you might have a hard time right now with the situation. You might be very joyful right now and want to share that. You might be inspired by stories you hear and want to get that out to people. Or you just want to connect and want to kind of fuel up with solution-focused questions. Whatever you want, whoever you are, come and join us. We are happy and you're always welcome.
And it also doesn't matter if you just started your solution-focused journey, if you have not yet started your solution-focused journey, or if you're on your journey for many years, we are happy to welcome everyone and make it meaningful. So please go to www.sfontour.com/stayconfident if you want to look up the next dates and join us.
So thank you again, Brigitte, for this wonderful conversation. Thank you also for this friendship with you that really, really means a lot to us. When we came over to the US and then went to Canada to get our motorhome, you were the first person in Canada that we met, knew each other from conference in Europe, and you were always a lighthouse for us in this sense, because we not only met you then, but also a year later, and we also remember our promise to come to Montreal when you organized the conference, and
yes,
it took place, and it was heart-touching, and everybody was there, and I think these are the stories that, well, life is made of, and kind of the connection that is here and is even growing every time we see each other. So thank you very much for all of this, and also for the great work you do, well, the life you spend and the way you share it with us.
Yeah, have a wonderful week, everyone. We are looking forward to reconnecting next week in episode number 96. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a great episode again. This was Simply Focused Podcast with Elfie Cherney and Dominic Godet. Your podcast for a life in joy and ease.